went over to Jimi Hendrix's place and left him some sheet music on the music stand. And Jimmy wasn't there for some, I don't know why, but Jimmy wasn't at his place. Miles didn't see him till like the next day or the next week. And he said, well, what'd you think of that music that I left for you? And Jimmy said, I don't know how to read music. So, you know, a lot of rock musicians don't know how to read music. And I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not casting judgment about that. I mean, the Beatles never read music, and it didn't mean that their creativity was compromised at all. So when I say write music, I don't want you to think I literally mean on staff. There are tremendous advantages of that. But if you just simply, you know, put it in GarageBand or record yourself on your phone or use a dictaphone or whatever, Loop Station, doesn't matter, to record your idea, you know, think how cool it'll be so that for you to be able to, A, transpose that into whatever key best fits your voice. Okay, let me just digress on that for a second. I run a rock cover band, and I almost never sing anything in the original key, and it's almost always too high for me anyway. And I've seen other bands do weird things like tune down a half step or a whole step so they can hit the notes, and that's because they don't know how to transpose. You know, transposing is the art of taking a song, its intervals, the intervals pertaining to that song, and moving it into a different key. And I never used to get compliments on my voice. You know, I don't have much voice training. I only took a very, very short time did I take voice lessons. But I get compliments all the time now for my voice because I put everything in my limited range. You know, people don't know you're playing the song down a fourth or whatever it is necessarily. They just know that, you know, you're able to deliver it. Because I put them in my key. So there's that whole advantage. There's an advantage of, you know, once you know the intervals on the guitar, I mentioned this before when I played the Mr. Softy theme. If you know your intervals in your head and you know where they are on the guitar, because there's only five positions, you can play anything you hear in any key, in any place on the guitar. Imagine what it's going to be like for your improvisation to just hear a line in your inner ear and be able to execute it. You don't always execute everything exactly 100%, but for the most part you do. I'm not going to demonstrate, you know, sort of scatting or anything like that. Well, maybe I will demonstrate it. But if you have, you know, if you have a guitar solo and if I, because we're in the key of A, bear with me. I'm going to try and scat a little bit, which means I'm proving to you that I can hear the notes while I play them. I don't know if this makes any sense, but if I sing, all right, I'm actually hearing the notes and executing them at the same time. Not flawlessly, but pretty damn near close. There's all kinds of ridiculous ramifications of ear training, you know. When I go to rehearsals sometimes with groups that I don't know too well or whatever, and they insist on calling out the chords for every song, and they can't imagine that I already know what they are because I just heard them play it. You know, so they'll play. And I'm sorry, but in my sleep, I know that that's C major, A minor, F, and G. No, would I have known the first note was C without any other musical without having been near my instrument? No, I would have to remember what A sounds like, sing it to myself, and then I could easily figure out what C is. But I don't have perfect pitch where I recognize C instantly because I didn't do that particular course. But that's not the nature of today. I'm just reiterating what we talked about. But you know, I already know what C sounds like because I've already been on my instrument and I know what A sounds like. And from there, I know that this is, and that's a sixth because N, B, O. Now it's the sixth below. We didn't talk about that yet. So this to this is, even though it's going down, it's a sixth below, not a sixth above. It's still a sixth. That's beyond the scope of this conversation. But then in my example, there's our sixth, and then Now it's a fifth, it's a fourth bullet. It's a fifth below, which is the interval of a fourth. This is too much information. But I hear, here comes the bride. Okay, so I know that this is a fourth. And last but not least, the 2001 theme. So I know that this is a 1-6-4-5 progression in my sleep, you know. And I also know my music theory that the first chord of the key of C, which we happen to be in right now, is a C. The sixth chord is an A minor. The fourth chord is an F, and the fifth chord is a G. You know, so then, so when the musician stops and says, "Okay, now for this song, the chords are," you know, and they're painstakingly telling you, you know, you have to be polite and say, "I'm, you know, yes, I got that. Thank you very much." but if it goes on and on like that, or if they make a point of it that they don't think that, you know, I'll just say I can hear the chords. I know what they are. Very politely, you know. And you know, sometimes there are funky chords or funky intervals that I can't quite grasp on the first time around, but once you, usually those chords tend to repeat. There's usually, you don't have like a crazy chord, like you don't have several crazy chords in one progression. You have just one or maybe two, if that makes any sense. The rest is diatonic, meaning it's pertaining to that particular key. But the scope of ear training, developing your ear, has enormous ramifications in every area of your musical life. In the next segment, there are probably going to be at least two other segments after this. The next one would be the intervals of the minors and the flats and everything. Okay, because remember, we did in the 1-2, we did 1-2-3-4-5-6-7, the seven notes of the major scale. We didn't do the remaining five notes. Remember, there are 12 notes, and seven of them are from the major scale. Okay, so the next segment would be the remaining five notes, and then that would be part two. Part three would be how to assign numbers to famous songs, you know, famous nursery rhymes. We touched on this a little bit when I did Mary Had a Little Lamb. 3-2-1-2-3-3-3-2-2-2-3-5-5. You know, how do I just instantly know that? Because I'm and part of that is how to find where your tonic is, you know, where your one is. If you can't find where one is, the whole interval training goes out the window. You have to be able to, intervals is the distance between two notes, so you have to compare to note, you know, a note to the root of the key, the tonic, the home base. Otherwise, the whole thing is thrown off. So we'll have to talk about, in the third segment, we'll have to talk about how to find the root, the key of the song. Students ask me this all the time. How do I find the key of a song? We'll talk about that at some point too. All right, well, have fun. Good luck with your ear training. Let me know how you make out. If you have questions about any specific examples in this audio, then by all means ask me, and if you say that you did them all perfectly, then I know you won't have listened to the whole thing. No, I'm just kidding. Good luck. Take care. Bye.